All right, looks like we're back on. I mean, it's our third time doing this, and I'm still like, wait, what the fuck are we doing? You know, maybe we need to record more often. Maybe there's that as well. You know, we'll see. Not this week though, or not this month. Well, what's up, everybody? It's a new episode of Cadillac on Mars. You got me, Chalfie. You got Delvin. You got T over here on the scene. We're just out here just getting ready to kick it today. I've actually been really looking forward to hanging out with you guys because it's been a while. Like, honestly, that I've had like a good moment to just cut up. So I'm really looking forward to that. Just updates from the last episode. I'm coming down to my last bit of wine gums. I've been down to the point where I had to read like how much is like a portion. So then I'm just like, okay, 9. So I've been having like 9 a day. Oh. Like fucking vitamins. I ain't going to the gym. I ain't committed to the gym, but I'm committed to these fucking wine gums right now.
Wow. Oh my God.
I'm like, oh fucking yes, it's so good. So good.
You're an addict.
Yeah, man. And then if you've ever smelled wine gums, they're pretty pungent. Like they smell like cheese for some reason. So then my daughter was like, oh, let me have some gummies. And she tried one and she was like, what is wrong with you? She's like, why would you eat these? I was like, they're so
sounds
good.
Right.
Like, yeah, I was like, nah, man, it's just it's delicious. So shit, wine gums.
Them shit's as hard as a brick.
Oh, that's true too, man.
They made with old school gelatin. None of that, nothing on no veggie joints that I got there.
No.
Rock hard. You can't. No, thank you. No.
I've never had a gummy candy that functions like a hard candy. Like you got to savor this bitch. You can't just be like, let me chew this up. You will lose some fillings.
This candy sounds like it should be eaten.
Nah, man, it's delicious.
This sounds like some shit you should put on your car to fix your like muffler or some shit.
Nah, man.
Oh, your muffler has a hole. You put this shit on it. That'll fix it.
Nah, man, it's good. Let's jump into this madness because hip hop's wilding out right now. We got rap beefs. We got fucking Diddy's house getting raided.
Fans taking pictures.
Wow, man. We got audio sounds of potential cheek clappage. Like we got some serious stuff going on. So. Yeah. Okay, let's start.
I was always told, and it always remains true, when the fans come to get you, they coming to get you. They know what they got.
No. When they come to get you, they already got you.
They got you. Yeah.
They got you. You're just like, all right.
Our former president has experienced that as we speak as well. So
yeah, what is he saying? He's already saying, hey, I'm going to be arrested on Tuesday.
Yeah, like, sounds like Tron from Chappelle's Show.
Yeah, yep.
Of all the amendments, I have a favorite one.
That shit is fucking. Oh god, some of those sketches really, really fucking hold up so well. That fifth one, yes, so good. 4-5. Fifth, and he brings out the paper. F-I-F. Just so you don't fuck it up. F-I-F.
I saw someone on Twitter post, how soon is it before we see Diddy in a MAGA hat?
Get that damn. Part. Right?
Oh, he's getting that part. Getting that Kodak Black treatment.
him fucking collaborating with Kanye. Just be like, listen.
Look. I'm
like part, Hollywood. Wow.
Joe Biden ain't give me no pardon.
No. What's the situation? Like, what do you guys know? What's the raid? I mean, I know pieces, but to get your house raided, like,
what's popping right now? What I see is, you know, they say they have tracked his private plane to Antigua. I mean, my man flew out.
Oh,
trafficking, sex trafficking.
It's definitely gonna be some. It's gonna be a little bit of everything.
Based, this all stemmed from the whole Cassie situation. All this dude had was pay her the money and shut the fuck up. He brought
But then everything started coming out.
No, it came. I know, but it wouldn't have came out if he would have paid her in the first place. It came out because he didn't want to pay her the money.
Yeah. He just could have laid cool and been like, there you go. I'm sorry.
And what happened was now more victims are coming out saying that Diddy was doing weird, nasty shit.
Yeah.
And when the Cassie stuff came out and the whole blown up Kid Cudi's car came out and shit, they were like, hey.
Yeah, that shit was crazy too. Blew up Kid Cudi's car. I was like, what the? No wonder the kid's always fucking stressed out all the time, depressed as hell. He's like, people out here trying to kill me, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, now they like
that. Like, seriously, Kid Cudi? Like, come on, man.
You blew up Kid Cudi's car, bro. You are. Something wrong with you.
Kid Cudi's just trying to get high. That's all he's trying to do. He's not trying to harm nobody. You know, he's just trying to wear some sneakers.
Yeah. Like,
that's it.
Once the feds let me say this. I say this all the time. Rappers, stop going on platforms like DJ Vlad, DJ Ak, anybody who has a DJ in their name, don't go on that goddamn platform telling y'all crimes.
Don't do it. Don't do it. That's just
telling all your business.
Always comes back.
Yeah, for real.
Give
them
a stand and be their own star witness. Doom told you that shit fucking forever ago.
But y'all every time.
It's been 20 years, man. Yeah. My man told y'all, and y'all still want to be telling all your business.
Seriously, like, yeah, I mean, you know.
What's going on with Vlad talking about how he killed Tupac? Look where he at. In jail.
Yeah.
6ix9ine going on Vlad and going on academics telling people about his crimes. Witness protection. Stop.
Seriously.
On yourself.
Don't do it. Like, you really are your worst enemy. But Dev put it down correctly. Just play some Mary J. I'm going down.
I know our boy Donnie say do crime, but he don't mean it in a literal sense. You don't he don't say do crime, then tell on yourself. That's not the motto. That's not what he's telling y'all.
It should be more like Killer Mike, just fuck hope, do dope. Like just, you know, that's the best it's gonna be.
They even got Killer Mike this year. This is a 2024 is a wild fucking year.
They're rapping people.
This man got a Grammy. They're like, all right, let's take his ass to jail.
In real time. In real fucking time. They didn't even let him get outside. They were like, and award and handcuff. Simultaneously.
This has been such a wild year for just in general.
Nah, no shit. But you also said he was out here in Antigua.
We ain't even done with the first quarter, bro. No. How is it this wild?
More like what, day two of spring?
Yeah.
about a week.
You still got flowers yet.
No. It's still raining. Yeah. I was going to say, so he's on his way to Antigua. So is he's out here with the fucking Russell Simmons who will like not set foot back in the States?
Probably. Yeah, the Rome Polanski of his hip hop shit, my guy. So
right.
Trying to get gone. He won't.
Man.
Because. Yeah. He ain't out. Well, you know what? Who knows? We'll see how it all plays out. But it's wild.
The funniest thing about this whole situation is the fact that right before feds raided Diddy's house, Young Miami tweeted, "It's gonna be a great summer."
Jake's probably safe now.
That dude go.
And everybody looking
at him. He's like, "Oh, I guess I'm living here." Like, let me just put my feet on this couch real quick. This is where I'm staying.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The whole shit's real crazy, but it's also that level too of like, I mean, we've always heard all kinds of stories about him just being fucking wild. And it's like, eventually that karma's a motherfucker. It gets you. Something will come back to the point where you're just like, nah, you kind of really did this to yourself. Like, you really fucked yourself over. And you can't be a wild boy like 24/7. You just can't. At some point, you got enough people around you who keep telling you, like, yeah, it's a good idea. Or they just don't say shit because they're part of the fun. It's going to fuck up at some point. Like, at some point, you need some people who are going to ground you and be just like, stop. Just stop.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to know when to fold your hand and just sit back and relax, man. Because
I guess, but man, we all grown men and we know what to do and not to do.
No, but they, having been in environments around like celebrities and artists, they don't function like us. They just don't. And so their rules and boundaries don't exist in the same way. Going back to Chappelle, it's the I didn't know I couldn't do that. Just like, yeah. Where you're just like, no, you're not supposed to. It's like, oh, shit, word?
I like way to let that shit walk for I'm be real with you, for white people. I ain't letting that shit waffle with us, man. Yeah,
we should know better, but
yeah, you know, yeah. Like you ain't forget all that. You ain't forget them lessons your mama and your grandma taught you.
Yeah, I like the. I think my favorite meme that's come out of this Diddy thing so far is it's something to the effect of this whole time we thought that Biggie had a crooked eye, when really he was just keeping one on Diddy. Whoa. Whoa. I was like, damn.
Yard,
not the dead. Can't talk about the dead like that.
I can promise you, Yard, I am nowhere near Diddy's Miami house. not even close.
In general, how close are you to the water though?
Not that far.
I like that.
Okay, so, not that far.
It'll take me like, well, it's not like the water you go swim in, but like, you know, like Biscayne Boulevard is like.
Are you going to a creek? Like, what the fuck?
No, but you know, it's like.
When you're down south, that's a crook, sir. A crook. Yeah.
He's talking the swimming water or the doo-doo water?
Both. You have like the little area where the boats are at, you know, like we have like Little River Drive, the marina. We have the marina or marina by us. We have, I guess we're gonna go to the fancy area, we got Miami Beach, but you also have like little areas of just big ass.
Let me tell you, one of my favorite things I've ever learned is looking ass. Just say whatever.
That is very accurate.
Like, you fucking microphone looking ass. Looking ass all the time. I love it.
So like, my life's rule was always to never set foot in the state of Florida. But I have added an addendum to that says, all right, if Delvin gets married and I'm invited to the wedding, then I will go to Florida, and only then will I go to Florida. But other than that, fuck Florida is a general rule of thumb I had to abide by.
Florida's pretty bad.
So I'm like, you don't have to get married in Florida if you ever do get married.
That is an option. That is something that is.
Wait, are you so you guys already talking about getting married?
I'm not.
No, my man got.
Now, did you hear me?
No, for sure. That's far too soon to say that. But nah, I added a personal life addendum. Married down there and invite me to the wedding down there, then I gotta go to Florida because that's my man's. But under no other circumstances, certain states just got a fucking full no fly zone for your man's. Texas, love shown.
Yeah,
Alabama, no love shown. I got folk in both those states. Never will I be setting foot in them shits unless I got to. If it's a fucking flight I'm on that has to like take a layover in them shits, I'm trying to get another flight.
Yeah, you're just like, no, I can't do this. I can't do this. Yeah, I
have to make sure them shits never have any of my money tax wise or otherwise.
I like how we went from Diddy to making it hot for Delvin.
Yeah. Well, no. That's just me showing love.
I have a story about that because. My girlfriend's mom keeps telling everybody that her daughter's getting married, and I'm her fiance. Like, become a thing?
You're like, listen, listen, we just barely hit a year. Like,
yeah,
slow down.
She's like, her fiance, and he handsome. Like, oh my God, don't stop telling me for that.
Yeah, so that's just funny. And then, I mean, since we're on this rap topic too. People be beefing. Like, damn, man. Let's talk about this Kendrick, Drake, J. Cole.
This dude Drake garbage. I'm not finna bite my tongue about this subject no more.
But Drake, you know,
on first pass, right? I was like, I'm not feeling this song. Mm-hmm. And now I've listened to it about like, I don't know, let's go with four more times. I'm like, yeah, that's doing something. And maybe it's that I'm saying that E40, what's the original West Coast dude you told me about?
Rodney O. Joe Cooley, Everlasting.
That Rodney O. You know what I'm saying, E40 flipped the Metro, pulled off, and
it's a good flip.
Yeah, and maybe it's just the general venom in my man K-Dot's of lyricism, but it's like, yeah, I can't call it. I'm never a Drake hater. I'm not that mm-hmm. kind of dude. I like many a Drake song. I have enjoyed many a Drake track, but like Delvin pointed out to me earlier, which is why I was rolling. He dissing any lady in the game, and in particular Megan Thee Stallion. Mm-hmm. But now the K-Dot come up to him. What you say?
You want to turn to Martin Drake. Negro King? Just like he on stage giving speeches and Martin Green, you don't shut the fuck up, nigga, and go rap.
What do you say? Oh, what do you say on stage? You know, I just keep my head straight and my back straight. What are you talking about? Man, you got a mark?
I couldn't have been that conscious. Like, shut the fuck up.
I didn't know this was a March on Selma. What the fuck are you talking about? Relax.
Yo.
Yeah, but he was real hot to say a lot of shit about the whole fucking Tory Lanez Megan Thee Stallion business.
Had a whole bunch of balls for that.
When he didn't have any like stake in the claim. Like, it's just like, fucking let it be, man. This is not your conversation.
He's such a funny dude. He had so many balls for Serena Williams, for Rihanna, mm-hmm. for Meg Thee Stallion. When old Kendrick come around, now he want to go give speeches. Like, he's talking about the United Negro College. But, man, shut the fuck up. We ain't trying to hear that shit.
Yeah.
Go get your punk ass in the booth and rap so you get embarrassed like Pusha T did you.
He ain't been right since Pusha T did that to him.
He has.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
That Pusha T situation, that was – we saw a public beating.
Yes.
Like
– So you got to remember, initially that was Infrared drops. Drake drops a comeback. Everybody's mm-hmm. like, "Ooh, Drake got his ass." And then you get that picture of Drake in blackface.
That's it, right there.
And then you get that song, and enforcing that man to claim his child, who he swears he's always going to claim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he literally changed that man's trajectory.
I'm going to tell y'all something that has been a fact in my head for the longest time. I think the way people talk about Logic being corny is the way people talk about Drake being corny. Should be talking about Drake being corny. Drake is just as corny, if not more so cornier than Logic, by every form, fashion, means. He is super corny. Everything he does is mad corny. If anybody else was to do it besides Drake, we would clown that person.
But it's because of Drake. And also slightly on the side of pedophilia, because he kind of fucking them young hoes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
If anybody else was to do this, the corny shit that Drake does, we would be clowning them and we would not be a fan of their music or them as a person. And I think it shows the fact that when Kendrick came out and shot them bars at him, which I thought were pretty good. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was like amazing, but I thought it was good. You see people like already saying that, we ain't fucking with Drake like that. You see rappers like backing away from Drake because they don't like that dude. He is corny. Everything about him is corny.
I think it's this, though, too, is one, I'll start with this. Kendrick's verse on that, so was it Like That on the new Future Metro? Is it Future Metro Boomin? That shit's got layers. Like, on surface, you're just like, okay, he's saying shit. But then when it gets dissected, it's like, oh, it really shows like, oh, he does have complexity. Like, he's saying layers upon layers upon layers of shit, where it's just like, oh my fucking God, man, this is brutal. But I also think it's like, you didn't need to come for Drake. That's low-hanging fruit. Like, we already know what we know. Drake is more of a pop artist than a hip-hop or rapper, in my opinion. Like, he's selling for the masses, whereas, like, Kendrick kind of still, even though he's popular, he's still in a lane, in a sense, you know, still lyricist, still different. So it's like, why do you come from Drake, man? That's easy.
Well, the problem
that's easy shit.
But if it's easy, why have so many missed?
The problem
why have so many not gotten over that hump, man?
But I think it's not that so many have missed. I think it's that so many don't care. You know, it's like,
clearly they do, because like I said, it's been many people taking shots at that dude and then losing to that dude in an embarrassing fashion. Mm-hmm. So it's like
Drake, sassy ass, be always
There it is. Sassy. He's a sassy motherfucker.
He be doing like little passive aggressive bars and shit at people. And yeah. people don't be saying nothing about it. So they just let it slide. And he was doing that on that first person shooter joint with J. Cole. The little passive aggressive shit. And people got, and I guess, yeah. got out of here and that shit. Like, nah, if you don't keep mentioning me, mention me.
Yeah.
Like,
now, another point too is I do feel bad for J. Cole because it's like, did he just catch a stray? You know what I mean?
Like, he got shot at directly. Strays are like, oh, that came from nowhere. This was an aim. Fair, said,
no, it was direct. It was direct at him, but I feel like, what is the issue with J. Cole? You know what I mean? Like, has he ever really been noted for coming at Kendrick? Not necessarily.
You got on the track with the dude who I don't fuck with.
Yes.
Made a whole ass song with him, went on tour with him. We got a problem now.
And on top of that, you guys keep saying y'all are the best two rappers in the game. And acting like I'm not like number one.
Drake saying he's best two. Yeah. J. Cole, we're top three. Kendrick in it as well. Don't forget that part.
Yeah.
So it's like, he's guilty by association. Poor guy, man. He's just trying to be out here with sloppy dreads. You know? Like, that's all he's trying to do. And I'm so it's just like,
damn. I'm this Melly Mel if I have to.
Why he brought Melly Mel in this? Now you know Melly Mel is old ass in the booth.
It had to be said. It had to have been said. Yeah, I know, man. Melly Mel apologized and tried to get right, but nah, man, it had to be.
Please, Melly Mel, don't bring your old ass in that booth talking about something you finna diss Kendrick.
But if you
the old 1937 segregation raps.
Not the Jim Crow bars.
Wow. Spaceship. Oh, Jim Crow bars show title.
Yo, get that bullshit out of here.
Fuck. Oh my God.
Nah, man.
Damn.
Nah, man. Please don't.
Damn.
Like, I'm still laughing at you. I'm my Eminem. Fella, go shit in your backpack.
Oh shit.
Look, I'm telling you, man, like, but don't sleep though, because I know everyone's focused on this track. That fucking album is a diss album.
It's like, amazing.
Top to bottom, he's talking shit from the, because right for our first track, I was like, oh, he's talking shit. And then Future, I should say. And then someone did a comparison of track titles. Yeah. And it's like, even the track titles of like Drake shit, he's like responding to.
I was like,
I was like, fuck. I was like, oh, this is the real deal. So damn, that, like, this is a kind of a fun beef because it's got layers. It's not just two people like, you're a bitch. Nah, you're a bitch. Yeah. It's like,
they put Metro Boomin in Spider-Man. He don't know how to act now. All right, we'll make you a Spider-Man.
A Spider-Man. Hey, but in those Civil War pictures, like, why they had to put Baby Keem in there? I'm like, damn, you don't even have abilities.
The Ant-Man of the group.
Nah, because at least Ant-Man's fucking. You know? This dude, I'm just like, God, not Baby Keem.
Why are you here?
You know, I know it's in horror movies, but it's like the black guy always dies first, so that's why they got him in there. Just like, it's him. He's gonna die right now. Like, you take him out. But this whole Civil War thing that they're putting together, shit has me cracking up too, because it's like, I don't know. Like, as much as I like Yachty and I like 21 Savage, they don't make a strong crew on the opposite end.
I gotta tell you, I think it's more like Endgame than it is Civil War. like it's a whole bunch of dudes against this one guy.
Yeah, I was about to say, Civil War, man, would imply these motherfuckers all, I don't know, from here at least or something. You know what I'm saying? You got a Canadian, you got a Brit. Too much that going on there.
21 so, British.
It's way too international.
British.
I will never forgive the hip-hop community for letting that dude make us think he was a street rapper from the hood. He came from the UK.
No shit. When it was like, oh, yeah, he's getting deported, I was like,
Deported from where?
To where? To like his home state? And then they're like, oh, he was born in England. And I was like,
Governor?
I was like, Warwickshire.
I was like, give me, are we talking about 21? Like, is that what we're talking about?
He was running from the Bobby. He wasn't running from no cops. Run,
the Bobby's just like, fucking insane. No.
Oh, motherfucker.
The nice sting of Billy Clubs.
You didn't have no president. You had a queen, my G. What are you talking about?
Holy smokes.
He's got to change that song to pounds in my bank account. In my bank account. I know, man. So he's talking about, man. You know what I mean? Lying ass motherfucker. Rap is
so different now than it was back then.
Yeah. I mean, in ways, yes, but at the same time, no, because I felt like at least growing up in the Boogie Down Productions, Eric B. Rakim sort of era, there were a lot of beefs flying around. A lot of people like, I don't fuck with you and I don't fuck with him. There was a lot of it. But
It was fun though. They could rap.
Yeah, because it was almost like it almost felt like hearing you. And I'm not trying to open this door, so I don't even know I'm gonna fucking say this. But it's like when you guys are talking about wrestling on PSVG, and you go into like the storylines and the old storylines. It's like that. Yeah. That's what hip hop used to feel like, where it was just like this dude's beefing with that one because this one said this. It was like a whole fucking like flow map and web of things. And so it's like, yes. Gosh, this is like pretty amazing. But this one, just to see everybody say, yeah, Drake, just don't respond to this. Yeah, like, please don't.
Not rap with TikTok.
Man, all I want is him to respond to it.
I hope he responds.
I want, like I said, I know you said Drake ain't, he'd be more pop music. Drake can rap. At some point, we got to put respect on that part of it.
And mm-hmm. So that is very good.
I do.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. Can he flow? Can he
write? I don't know.
Can he rap?
But he can rap. And that's all I said. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see him, spitting some, you know what I'm saying? Some fire. Because he don't get to do it that often anymore. You know what I'm saying?
He's a little too sing-songy.
That reissue they did of that album when he added like six more tracks of just him doing mostly just bars, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's not like he can't do it. So, and like I said, I'm never dissing motherfuckers for having somebody write for him. It is weird to me that people write for him, but we used to have routines back in the day, you know what I'm saying? You wrote for your mans. That made perfect sense. And now the fact that, like, I guess, you know.
I mean, how many songs did we hear just within the last 3 years that were like hip hop classics? And then it's like, oh, that was written by Search. Like, what? You know? So it's like, there was always a lot of co-writing and, you know, like, oh, I'll pass this. I wrote it, but you could have it, you know, like it's been in hip hop, but it's kind of like, I think with him, it's just, again, like I said, I it doesn't shock me too much because like, I do feel like he is more pop. So it's like, usually pop artists don't write their shit. They're usually like a team or a collective. That's why a lot of us, from the singing to the rapping, it feels very dialed in, but it's like, yeah, when you get enough people in the room, you start cutting shit up. You start making it real, real clean and fucking perfect. I mean, there's shit. And I'm with you, T. Like, I don't knock him in the sense that like, there are plenty of songs that I like of his. And like, I've seen him live. His show is fucking fun. Like, it really is a lot of fun. And like, I see Deb saying it's formulaic pop, but not necessarily, because he's usually the first one out the gate for others to follow. He sets the trend and then the others come through. So he's not really like on the back end as he's in the forefront of it, which is, I think, is why you, why he has such huge popularity.
He also has good taste. Like I said, he be picking up artists and shit that like do some like amazing shit. Like I said, I'm not trying to kiss Drake's ass or anything like that there. But I just don't want us to be like, yeah, he's shit. Cause that's not,
that's not the case.
No. Not true. Yeah. But it's just between him and Kendrick.
I wouldn't even say that much. I think what T said kind of nailed it earlier. Something happened after that Pusha T beef.
Mm-hmm.
Where his music went from, I could do some rap songs and some pop songs, and some island songs, to I could do mostly pop joints.
Mm.
And to me, after that Pusha T beef, the quality of his music became super formulaic and watered down. And it was just, it was to me, it was unlistenable. I don't want to hear this. It's not
because it's been a minute since we've had a good, like, hard beat from him, like this, like more of like a street beat type of thing. We haven't. It's been a minute. But the positive that came out of this for me, at least, was hearing Kendrick go off, because Mr. Morale was good, but it's a little too conceptual for my taste, a little too artsy for my taste.
It's a concept album.
And it's been a long time since I've heard him just fucking spit, because that's what he's great at. And so it's like to see him go back to that, it's like, oh, you still got it in you.
Yeah.
You know, where he didn't age out and be like, I don't rap like that anymore because, you know, I'm this and that now. But to come back and be like, oh, you thought I couldn't? Watch me.
Boom. He three stacks in that regard. Every now and again, he just come out and be like, oh, no, don't forget I can do this.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Don't yeah. ever. I mm-hmm. need to just remind y'all right quick. This could happen at any moment.
I may be a fluty ass motherfucker, but don't forget, I'm also this motherfucker over here too. So just like, I'm still the same dude. Just watch me.
Really interesting watching. I don't know if Drake's going to respond. I don't know if he should respond. He might be wise for him to stay quiet because
sit this one out.
Yeah. Yep. The reason why I say that is because, much like Pusha T, it's not too much stuff you really can go at Kendrick about. Like, Kendrick is such a quiet person and reserved about his private life. Unless you like, and plus, people don't really want to talk about Kendrick like that. Like, you know, Meek Mill's was different because people was like, Meek put all his stuff out there. Like, everything that Drake said about him, to there were elements of it were true because Meek put it out there. You know, it's not like he was hiding it. Where Kendrick is like really reserved and quiet and doesn't put his stuff out there.
Yeah. That but gives in that, less
stuff gone. But
in that Drake same in that same note, his albums are very introspective.
Yes.
You know, they really so even though he's not publicly like in the internet forums, like putting his shit out there, like social media, it's because he already put his shit out there on wax. Like, he's like, this is what it was like. This is how I fucked up. This is how someone screwed me over. Or like in his last album, it's like, here's my struggles with fucking just being in this place. So it's like, it's one of those things that's like, if Drake were to come back and be like, oh, look at you, motherfucker, you're depressed. He's like, yeah, did you not listen to track 4, 5, and 6? Like,
exactly.
I already said it. Like, what are you telling people?
The problem with Drake is all of his dirty laundry's out there. Like, and he keeps getting it out there. Mm-hmm. And it's more stuff, and it's all messy and silly. And you always hear like he's always doing like goofy shit.
Oh, to bring two stories together, you guys remember when Diddy slapped the shit out of Drake in a club?
See, that's another one. See,
you guys remember?
And Chaffee, you just brought up my point right there. That's my point. Drake has shit like that out there about him, and it's constant. They're at the point where they're the thing that they say about T.I. friend at the basketball game accidentally peeing on Drake.
How you accidentally?
Yeah, you didn't hear that story.
Hey, sorry, my dick was out, and I've been drinking. Sorry, man, I peed on you.
apparently, T.I.'s friend was drunk. T.I. was at a game, and T.I.'s friend was like really drunk, and he started peeing from his seat. And the pee landed on Drake. And Drake like got really mad. I think he landed on his shoe or some shit like that. And got mad and left. And T.I. had to like cuss his friend out because of it. Meek Mill talks about it on like one of his songs.
Damn.
It was a real story. See, and that's my point. There's so much stuff to talk about. Like the goofiness and the stupid shit that Drake like does. It's like, yeah, man. You don't need to talk about nobody, bro.
Damn, poor Drake. You can't be getting peed on. I mean, if it's your thing, it's your thing. But, like, not at a basketball game.
You're saying too much,
Chuck. No, I mean, if he's out here just like, hey, I'm just trying to drink this fucking Coors Light right now. And all of a sudden, it's to bring it back to Chappelle. Drip, drip, drip. I want to Holy piss smokes. On you. Hate, I hate. Lovers want to love.
Trip is my fucking shit, man. Trip, trip, trip. What do you mean? Trip, trip, trip.
What is he doing that bit too? Where he's like, oh no, it's all special effects. Watch. Oh, he's on her, and then he's like, she's all dry. That pee was digital.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. Well, let's get on track. I mean, a bit.
Look at the private chat. That is the article of T.I. explaining that it was an actual thing that happened.
Damn. Fucking crazy, man.
And see, that's my point. Like, he has so much goofy shit that he's been a part of. It's like, you really can't diss nobody, bro.
No, not at all. Like, you know, you kind of bring some things onto yourself.
Dude,
but let's see. Yeah. Speaking of getting peed on, Delvin, what you been up to, man?
It's not getting peed on.
Oh, you guys into doo doo? That's nasty.
No, not even. It's been an interesting year, to say the least, man. I can't discuss everything because it's been just fucking wild. It's one of the most challenging, weirdest, strangest years I've ever experienced.
We're still in month three.
Yeah, that's what makes it so insane.
This fool's talking about a year. Like, wow.
It's a year for like reflection. You know, next week's my birthday. That's going to be pretty cool, I guess. I have no plans, but I don't know what the fuck I'm doing after that.
This is usually when Delvin says, I'm just going to take time off for my birthday, and then he don't.
I'm not going to take time off. I'm not even going to pretend I ain't going to take time off because it's just I have so much stuff to do and just get things together because it's been like I said, it's just like a lot of life changes been happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, kind of get that stuff together. But overall, I think I'm good. I'm in good standing. Just really busy dealing with things, kind of keeping things in control.
All right. How's your son's new TV working out?
He loves it. It's great.
Yeah,
he absolutely loves it. He plays it all the time. He's on it playing Fortnite. He loves it. It looks great. I'm surprised how well it looks for the price he paid.
Did your daughter swap for the PlayStation TV out, or she stay with her PlayStation TV?
She stayed with a PlayStation TV so far.
All right.
At good old 720p.
Like, she's like, listen, ain't broke. Don't fix it. Broke,
don't fix it. I will play my PS5 on a 720 TV.
She's like, I don't even need the pro. What the fuck are you talking about?
This looks good enough. Like, all right, I guess.
Yeah, good with sure. That, good
with it. Yeah.
She's like, I wear glasses. What?
But yeah, everything's been good. It's, good right. It's been very, like I said, it's been a very interesting month.
Nice, nice. What about you, T? You said life's been life in what ways?
Life been. So my son hit me up last night. He was like, what's our insurance? Somebody hit my car.
Damn.
I'm like, God damn it.
Told you this first 3 months.
He explains to me how it happened, and it's even wilder. He parked his car out wherever, you know what I'm saying, with his buddies, where they was at, and then they left and went somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
His parked car got hit by what is truly, I'm saying this to you, and I'm not trying to diss elderly or whatever, like the elderly or anything like that there, a 90-year-old man driving a large truck who hit his car and was like, I didn't see it. And I'm like...
Like, didn't see a vehicle?
Yes.
That happened to me.
Of course it did.
it's crazy, but the dude did stop, called the cops. Cops came through, got all the paperwork. My son got all the insurance stuff today to take care of that, and it's been on the horn with that dude's insurance. So hopefully this is just easy peasy, cleans up. Don't even touch my insurance, as a matter of fact, which would be lovely because I want that. Then my youngest, because of course high school is just beef sometimes. Mm-hmm. Currently got beef going on. And it was like, dumb beef. It was dumb beef for a little bit, but then it becomes so flagrant that he had to finally just talk to like school officials about it.
It is Drake. Yeah, it has to be Drake. Definitely with Drake.
And so the what's dope, at least in my opinion, and Chalfie, you know what I'm saying, as an educator, you might be like, I'd be on that shit too, my man. My man's school counselor hit me up on a weekend to be like, yo, your son emailed me and I saw it. And I just wanted to make sure you was in the loop. And I'm like, of course I'm in the loop. The kid, you know, kid forwarded me the email that they sent you, so I know already. But me and the kid have been talking about it, and the kid was like, I'm just gonna ignore him and I'm gonna keep him moving. And I was like, well, that's fine, we can try that. And that's what it had been for a long time, but it just won't stop. These motherfuckers keep acting the fool. And I'm like, okay. And so he took all the facts, took all the screenshots, the videos, the everything, sent it to the counselor. There's like
all the receipts in a drive. Here you go.
Yes. And the counselor's like, okay, I will talk to the various house principals, and we will get this taken care of starting today. And I have not gotten a call back from the school counselor, but that's my people. So they all like, what's funny is like, so weirdly enough, through my children's schooling, they went to junior high down the way, and they had a principal and a counselor at the junior high, who then, just as my son finished junior high, went to the high school.
Oh shit!
To go work. So that like everybody
who saved by the bell.
So they went to the high school, and so they were there. You know, so they basically followed my son, and so I have this long history with these people, and so they've known me for years, and they know what my family has gone through, and so forth and so on. And so they be like, yo, I know you, I know your people, I know how you get down, and so I thank you for, you know what I'm saying, being involved and being whatever. And I'm just on some old, yeah, man, it's gotta be handled. And I'm trying to allow the system to do what they got to do and so forth and so on. And I'm pissy and I'm salty. But then let me see if I can show you this without showing you too much of this. Let's see how much of my life is on here. How about I just fold that down so you don't see what school my kid goes to? And I fold this down and I show you whatever.
This pulls out here making origami.
You're an origami killer.
See that?
Barely. Was it before Prince?
If I come right here, let me see. Yeah. Straight A's.
All nice. That's what's up.
Kids, so my kid who was going through this nonsense and fucked up fighting a good fight.
Still maintaining.
Is also bringing me home straight A's. I never have straight A's, my guy. I was never that dude.
That's so awesome.
That's like, so then it's like, you know what I'm saying? That's when we flip it from life into that's kind of fantastic.
Yeah.
And so we fight the good fight. It's going to be all right. And if I have to, I'll pull a Diddy and smack the shit out of somebody's mama and their child and not care about it. That's not me trying to be threatening or whatever. I'm just saying.
No, sometimes you got to threaten me.
You can don't get play. This shit right. You can get it right.
Or you're going to get it right. Wrong.
Yeah. And so my kid was like, yo, I told them to quit bullshit. Because one of these kids has already had some trouble this school year and is on the verge of getting kicked out of school. And I was like, I told them they could be cool. I'm going to have to tell on them and they're going to, you know, get caught up. And I'm like, nah, don't be threatening nobody. I go, that's a threat you made right there. I literally quote it. And I do this. Because it's honestly a bar and a half. My man, Lil Weezy said, what? Real G's move in silence, like lasagna.
Yeah.
And I tell my kids, spell lasagna. And they're like, what? I go, it's a fat ass G up in the middle of lasagna. Right. They don't need to be there.
Yep.
Flagrant G. A flagrant G.
But that bitch is silent. And I'm like, don't worry about it. Just be quiet and watch what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna watch what happens, and like I said, this is like I said, life. Also, I found out today I got a COVID pass. I don't have COVID. I don't think I have COVID.
I have close contact,
which is no bueno because of course you know Vanessa has an autoimmune disorder, so she can get sick super fast. Though I am, you know, well and true all the way boosted in these COVID streets. It can whatever. So now I'm like, I'm gonna have to just basically be on the couch for the next few days, test that. Well, I think I have to test in 2 days. So 2 days I'll have to test to make sure I do or do not have it. I feel fine. I don't think I have COVID, but a close COVID pass means things have to be handled a little differently around the house. And so, you know, I got to go back to the old M5 and, you know, so forth. And it's just life. Like I said, man.
Yeah.
But also, man, I got my kid brought home straight A's, bro. Well, the mailbox brought me home straight A's.
Yeah.
They don't give the report cards out no more. They mailed them shits home. So it's like, that sucks. But like then, like I said, and my son's car shit, my older son's car shit sucks. But like I said, that's working itself out and so forth. So we try to.
Yeah. Yeah. Out here for me, it's been like, I guess like similar, you know, in the sense that like, it's been real fucking busy because like my district and a lot of districts keep scooching the fucking calendar up. So it's like we have spring break just right around the corner. And then once spring break's done, like it's like 6-7 weeks of school left. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck, like no way. Like in my opinion, we should not be ending in late May. Yeah. One, because I've said this before, it doesn't get hot down here until September. Oh. So by the time we come back to school, the fucking heater or the ACs are breaking because they haven't been used in the summer. And then now we're cranking the fuck out of them and it's just like break, break, they fucking break all over the place. And these rooms get hot. Like I'm talking like 130 in a fucking classroom. So then it just becomes a whole, like we gotta get portables, all this other bullshit. And, so it's just like, oh, damn, man. But I say that to say, like, so I'm in that phase where it's like, I'm closing this year. I'm starting next year. I'm fucking letting go of teachers, looking to pick up new ones. I got some really, really great ones that I want to carry over to next year from this year. And then it's just like regular day to day. I mean, like, to give you an example of what the days have been like. So I got to work at like 7:15. Like, and it's just like conversation after conversation. Like I immediately meet with my office manager. Then I'm talking to a teacher about one thing, talking to a teacher about another thing. Then I'm getting ready to do like a little raffle prize every Monday. I do that for the students where they turn in their like positivity slips. I do a raffle, call names from each of the classes. Then I had some students that every morning they take out the soccer goals, they unlock them, take them out. And then at the end of every day, they bring them back in. So to pay them for their job, I buy them lunch once a month. So then I went to go buy them lunch. Then I had to host an assembly, regular wards assembly that we do like monthly. Then I also had like behavior shit happen along the way. And so it's just like, it doesn't stop. It's like boom, 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 boom. And then after like once by that point, it's like the day's done. And then I had to like have like four more meetings along the way with like getting a student returning to school, talking to a parent about a situation that happened. I got a fucking teacher who's crying about some fucking petty shit. So it's just like, it don't fucking stop. And so that's what like my days have been like. And so it's just fucking exhausting. So then I get home and I'm like, I came home and I fucking slept for like an hour because I was just like, I'm done. And then so it's like, it's a fucking wrap. But that's like every day. And then it's just like regular old house shit. So it's just been going. It's just been going like crazy. But I did, my wife and I did get last minute tickets to go see Bad Bunny at the Crypto, which will forever be Staples. And it was a ton of fun. Like, it was super, super fun. Because he does three stages. Basically, if you think of one stage at like one basketball hoop and the other stage on the other hoop, and then he has like a fucking like sky bridge in a sense. So where we were, even though we were like in nosebleeds, his stage where he started was just right in front of us.
Oh, sick.
And then he goes to the other stage. Then he goes back up on the fucking like sky stage in a sense. Like it's just this long catwalk. So now he's more of our level. And then he ended the show at the stage where he started. So it was like, we actually like had a really, really good show. And it was fun. It kind of goes into like the Drake thing. These big, big, big artists, they bring the theatrics. Like you're not just going to a club where they're just fucking rappity rap. You know, it's like it's fireworks from the get-go. It's laser lights, it's dancers, and full fucking comes out like on a living horse, you know? So it's like all this excitement and stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun, and people are just out here dancing, having a good time. So that was like a lot of fun because it was like the vibe was just right, you know? It wasn't like people trying to be hard in the boulevard. They were just like there to have a good time. So it's like, you know, you kind of, you feel that vibe in the room where it's like, all right, you know, cool. Everyone's here to kick it. So for me, it's like, that's kind of been like life, like in a nutshell. It's just trying to find those like moments of like having a good time. But for the most part, it's been fucking exhausting where I'm like, I cannot wait to like be home for the summer. But like I always say too, that I'm home for the summer for like a week and I'm like, get my ass back to work.
I have been a part of Chalfie's life for some years now. He does not want summer. He does not like it. He does not do well during it.
Zero.
That shit is whole shit. You hate it.
I do.
You gotta I don't know, you gotta move about the cabin or something. You gotta get out here in these streets or something, because
well, I mean, and that's the hard part too. Like my wife even says it too. Like I try to like, if I do things, I have to bring like one or everybody, because if I'm not around, like things start to like crumble.
Yes. Yeah.
And so then I'm like, hey, I'm just trying to be outside for a little bit. And it's like, everything's on fire. And I'm like, fuck, okay, let me go back home. So, yeah, with that, it's just been, but like I said, that was a good time. That was a lot of fun. So, you know, just kind of just moving things along, just trying to really like find moments of like peace, you know, just to be able to breathe for a little bit. And at least I got a really good office team as well. So then I will tell them like, listen, I'm just going to step off campus for like 15 minutes. I just need to like not be here for a minute and then I'll come back. They're like, we got you. So I'm like, all right, cool. Perfect. But, you know, I'm going to move into the next segment, which is like our good to great. And this has brought me so much joy. Have you guys watched the TikTok of the I Ain't Fresh?
I see my man, I Ain't Fresh.
Man, have you seen it, Delvin, the I Ain't Fresh guy?
I don't think I have.
Oh, okay.
I got to pull it up.
Yeah, pull it up, put it in the chat, share it, do all that stuff. Fucking I Ain't Fresh is so good. Because it's like this guy, and his outfit is, he's got like a polo, a collared shirt on. It's like blue and white. He's got creased jeans. He's got like these like baby blue New Balances on. And these girls are fucking clowning him because he's like, they're just telling me he's looking corny. His fade is fucking clean too.
I want to find the original.
And they're just like, no, he's outside. He's just got his Whataburger and he's like, I ain't fresh. And they're like, no. And they start breaking him down. But it's like, man's is fresh. Like his outfit is clean. Someone said on TikTok, they go, listen, this outfit is fresh for millennials and older. Like his outfit is the type of outfit. They're like, you can go to court. You can go to the club. You can go to a funeral in this outfit. Like this outfit covers everything. And so just a, and now he got an endorsement from fucking New Balance.
I mean, they said he was reaching. At last check, somebody said he was reaching out to New Balance trying to get at him. So
yeah, I guess New Balance hit him up, and so he's gonna get a little sponsorship with them too. Because he had some fucking green outfit the other day too. Dude is fresh, like super super fresh. But on the flip side, someone said they're like, "This is like we can see in real time, like." Someone realizing that they're not as young as they think they are. Cause there is a sadness in the way he says, I ain't fresh. That's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like I put effort into it. Like, I don't understand. And, I was just like, damn, man. So it was kind of relatable too, where I'm like, this guy's just trying to be here out in the streets. He was just trying to get some burgers. And then these girls are out here talking shit to him. Man's is fresh.
Tell me why this thing let me put message in the chat. What kind of nonsense is that? Can't chat with the people.
Really?
Yeah, it says sending messages is only supported for host. Only you.
Damn, what? That's weird.
But
I don't know how to do that.
I can throw it in private and you can share it with
the people. Yeah, do that. Throw it in the private.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's weird.
And then we give you a quick little screen share.
I can drop it in the... Did Chalfie drop it in the stream?
Yeah, it did. Perfect. And then, is he going to let you share it?
Yeah. I just had to cross over to it. Oh, you know what? Did it not let me share it? Here, let me kick stop. Try it again.
We out here learning things, people.
Share. I guess it ain't gonna let me. But, well, no, I can,
there we
I
go.
Can, I can, oh, there you go. Here, let me.
Oh, so I like her breakdown too.
Yeah, but her breakdown is dope. Let me get her, give you some audio. Why are you not playing the audio? My man is fresh today.
Yes, yes.
And he got like 150,000 followers just off going live once.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't really put up no other videos since.
And didn't really go live right either. It was very like someone figuring it out. Camera all crooked and shit.
Just the vibe. And so, of course, you know what I'm saying? All the aunties out here, they know, and they like, oh, no, he may not be fresh to y'all littlings, mm-hmm. but he fresh to a people of a certain age. And
yes, exactly.
He's not wearing the super tight-ass pants.
Right.
And the blouses. Yeah, I get it. That's not that.
But
not,
he went blue on blue on blue, baby. Damn, that outfit is fresh. How can you not say?
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, maybe the collar could have been a little bit tighter, but other than that,
not for Whataburger.
Not for Whataburger.
It might be he was overdressed for Whataburger.
Oh no, that's factual. That's fact. But that could have been Whataburger at like 2 a.m. You know, so he could already been coming back from a place where he needed to be fresh. Now he needed to. Get some sustenance.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. I don't think that was like 8 p.m. at Whataburger. He was like, listen, we've been out here already. I'm tired. We're about to get some burgers and go home.
My man's jeans was creased.
Yes.
Creased like my mama taught me to iron. Real for real.
Yeah, man. You know there was a little bit of starch on that.
No, that's exactly some spray starts. Hit it with the Niagara. Hit it with the
yeah, I know how that goes.
Oh, man, we old.
Man, for real. For real. Because when I first saw the video, number one, I verbally said out loud as I was walking the dogs because I was watching it. And he was like, I ain't fresh. I was like, damn, this motherfucker is fresh. What are they talking about? And then I was like, oh. And nobody, it's just me. I'm not there with them. I was hot. Made me mad. It's like, I hate you fucking young people.
I love that the internet, again, like I said, I just told you my kid kind of going through some shit right here with bullying. It's like, I love when bullies try to get, I love when bullies try to bully and society's like, nah, not on this watch. So,
yeah. But there's been some good commentaries too, because I'm glad you brought up the bullying part where it was like, there was another lady doing a breakdown and she was like, listen, you guys got to understand, like, men have feelings too. Like, you and your little girlfriends, which I'm pretty sure she said little girlfriends, you think that this shit is funny because you're out here talking shit to this man, but you don't know, like, this may be the one night he goes out. This he may have left the house feeling so confident, and you guys just came and said, "Let me shit on you right now." And it's like, yeah, that's for real. You know, like there's so many perspectives, and to see this, the lighthearted is just like, damn, man. But the other end is like, hey, you know, for real, like you didn't need to shit on the dude. And I guess the conversation started inside the restaurant where they were like shitting him on the inside. And then when he came out, he was like, what's up with this? You know? So, and I'm glad he held his composure too and didn't do something fucking ignorant, like throw his sodas at them, you know? Because we've seen enough of those videos too.
Yeah.
People got to realize that everybody going through shit nowadays.
Mm-hmm. You got
to chill out and be very aware and cognizant of what you say to people and what you do to people, because you don't know what could be their breaking point. That's why I don't be trying to trip on people like that when they... Well, it's something I don't agree with. If they look corny, they corny. But you know, you can keep things to yourself. And I think that's the problem most people like, they let their inside thoughts come out. Like, sometimes you need to do that.
Yeah. No, that didn't need to be for the room. That could just be just for you. Because I mean, I think that this message is like perfect. It's because some people can't feel good unless they make others feel bad. And that's for real, because then they feel better about themselves, or it's their own lack of confidence that they're just like, I need shit on everybody before they shit on me. And it's like, I didn't really need to do that, because the reality is nobody cares about you. Like, big picture. Like, no one cares if you're wearing the purple hoodie, the blue hoodie, the yellow hoodie, no hoodie. Like, people just don't care. Like, they just didn't even notice you, you know? So I think a shout out to this guy, though. Man, I love it. So let's kind of go in reverse then. T, what's your good to great?
Oh, clowning! Like we actually already gone over, but clowning Drake all day with Devil today has been just great. It has kept me in stitches all day long, and so we've technically already discussed that. So
yes, how about you, Devin? What's your good to great?
That is also my good to great, and also something else we're going to talk about later. I guess if we get to the what you're watching, I guess we'll talk about my good to great.
Okay. Well, then next we're just going to get into a lighthearted. Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? He said, she said, we said, he said, what up with that? We're a little lighthearted. What's up with that?
Is it lighthearted though?
Yes, because I don't fucking get it. Like, what is up with people still tripping so hard over pineapple on pizza? Like, why is that a problem? Like, some people, man, the anger I see in, like, in person and, like, on the internet. Like, why is this a thing? Like, I'm sorry you still have, like, a child's taste buds that don't like a contrast between sweet and savory. Like, I'm sorry you're still like out here like fucking like Dev and you just want to eat chicken nuggies all the time. Like, all right. You know, hey, that's you. That's how you do. That's fine. But it's like you can put everything on a fucking pizza. Like my wife and I have been going to this place lately. It's called the Fourth Horseman here in Long Beach. And it's like a
Arn Anderson. Tully Brooks.
What's that?
It was some wrestling shit. Don't fall for it. Don't do it.
You better get out of here with your wrestling. Looking at anyways, Fourth Horseman. It's this like heavy metal pizza bar in a sense. The music is fucking loud. I love it because like one of my favorite bands, Def Heaven, they play them all the time in there, and it's loud, loud, loud. But then it gets real random.
Music's man. Quiet. Death metal heavy bar. On, I mean, it's really loud.
Goodbye. Done listening to you. All right. Let me get you back. Do you get some sense now? No. Motherfucker, you're still talking. Goddamn. Anyways, they have a pizza called Captain Spudnik. And it's like tater tots and like a little like a sort of sour cream type of thing with some bacon. Basically, it tastes like a stuffed potato, like a baked potato on a pizza. Fucking so good. Like, so delicious. And so it's like, you can't just always have cheese and pepperoni. Maybe you want to try some other shit. Like, it can't always just be a fucking margarita pizza all the time. Like, try some new shit. So pineapple on a pizza, let it ride, man. Like, let it ride.
Let me walk you through it right quick. If your spot got a barbecue pizza, barbecue chicken type joint, get the barbecue chicken joint.
Mm-hmm.
Add pineapple. Mm-hmm. Add some jalapenos. Change your life.
Yeah. No, so there's a place down by my job called Mountain Mike's, and they do a Hawaiian barbecue pizza. Same thing, where it's just no red sauce, barbecue sauce. It's pineapple and bacon on the pizza. Fuck, that pizza is so good, man. So good. And like I said, maybe still got a child's palate. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're sophisticated enough. Maybe your favorite artist is Drake, and that's where you're just like, that's as hard as you go. Like, that's you. I understand. No disrespect, you know?
All disrespect.
The thing is, it's like, I wonder, have these people even tried it? Or are they just bothered by the ideal,
well,
having never tasted it?
I can speak on it. Because I don't like pineapple on pizza. I've tried it before, but that was a while ago.
That changed the whole tone then, because you tried it and didn't enjoy it.
But I will say this. I don't fuck people want pineapple on their pizza. You want pineapple on your pizza? That's your pizza. Do what the fuck you want to do with your pizza? Yes. Why do I care what you want on your pizza?
You just say, don't put it on my pizza.
Yeah,
don't
put it on my
pizza. And you know what? And also, when I tried it on a pizza, it wasn't like the way you guys have just described it. It was essentially a pizza with pineapples on it, like, okay. They didn't have the pizzazz. They didn't have, like, the barbecue sauce.
No razzle-dazzle?
Yeah, it was just like a pizza with pineapple. I'm like, all right, I guess it's all right.
I guess, you know, fine, whatever.
It's something, you know.
Yeah, it's something. But it's the people that are just like, man, you're missing some chromosomes if you like fucking pineapple on your pizza. It's like, ain't that serious, man? It really is not that. It's just fucking pineapple. Like, I didn't call your mom out by her name. None of that. You know, wasn't disrespecting you. Didn't put your socials on the internet. Like, none of that. Just, but damn, people get so fucking mad over some pineapple on a pizza. I'm like,
nothing to get mad over.
It's cool.
The only one I see people get more hype about or get more upset about is pickle pizza. When I see pickle pies and people be like, oh my God, I would never.
I didn't know that was a thing. I don't know about this. Tell me about it.
Pickle pizza is so fucking good. My God.
That sounds good, actually.
First time I saw it up in Toronto. But
was it on like one of those cheeseburger type of pizzas?
No. Imagine a whole ass slate pizza. Mm-hmm. Usually a white sauce.
Okay. Pause.
All pickles.
Mm-hmm. Pause again.
Cheese.
Yeah. All right.
Sir, we ain't pausing in 2024.
No, but I mean, that sounds really good. I am
far too grown for that.
Nah, man. It's still fun. You can't be too old for the positive.
Now I gotta find you a hold on.
I Google pickle pizza.
Whoa.
And the first thing that says
pizza on some dude's lap.
Just says, this pickle pizza recipe is straight up delicious.
Damn, not delicious.
That is upsetting.
Damn, second show title.
Laugh so hard.
Chat, what do you say? Should the show be Jim Crow bars or delicious? Or is it these delicious Jim Crow bars?
Hey, I'm gonna throw y'all another one in the chat. This is one of my local pizza establishments, Ohio Pie Co. And this is their pickle pizzas on their secret menu. And y'all can share, like I said, y'all can share that with the rest of the more bigger chat. But okay, yeah, that's my that's good. Yeah, it's hitting, bro.
That chips on it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'm not opposed to this.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I'd try it for sure. Yeah. That's like there's a down at the farmer's market over by the Grove in LA, like kind of LA Beverly Hills area. There's a pickle sort of stand, and you can get like pickle flights because they just have like a variety of pickles. And so they're like, oh, you want these pickles that taste like buffalo wings? You want these pickles that are like garlic herb? And so you just pick your fucking pickles. And yeah, we got the flight one time, and man, we were just smacking on some pickles like you would not believe. And I'm not out here in these streets like, damn, you know, some people are like, they fucking ride or die for some pickles. I was just like, yeah, sure, whatever. That shit was delish, super delicious. So pickle pizza, I'm kind of down to try it. I want to know what this is like.
Yeah, I kind of do too. You know, we talked about me trying oxtail pizza before.
Oh yeah, that's right. Which I'm like, damn, that sounds heaven. Really
good. So yeah, I'm down to try pickle pizza.
Yeah,
because you have an open sense and open palate. You're like, I can try pickle pizza. You've tried pineapple pizza and decided not for me, but I tried it, and like, it's just like it's too much good out there, man. Too much nice stuff.
I tried anchovy pizza.
It's another spot down my way, called Pizza 216, and they make a pierogi pie. So you were just talking about tater tots. Imagine pierogies on top of the
shit.
I've had it one time before.
Okay. Some people be like, that's some weird shit. And no,
it's not Polish Ohio dumplings, thing. Right?
Yeah. It's not an Ohio thing. Like I said, it's all over the country. You'll see it at state fairs and stuff like that there. But it just happens to be this place happens to have one on their little secret menu. Damn. And like I said, that's a pizza spot around my way. So
I'm about to Google this.
I guarantee you, it's somebody around your way to make a pickle pie.
Pickle pizza, Los Angeles. Let's see.
I'm gonna see if I can find one. I know I told my girl the other day because there's a food truck literally like maybe a block away from me that has what is it called? Peach cobbler. It's a peach cobbler food truck.
It's just like various cobblers or various peach cobblers, and they.
That's why I said peach cobbler, but it has everything on the truck. Because for some reason, a bunch of food trucks are just showing up by my house and they're just setting up shop there.
like it.
They all like 5 minutes away. So my son goes out, walk around the neighborhood and goes to like.
You might not live near Diddy, but you live near, you know what I'm saying, a food truck. So I feel like you better.
Yeah, I'd rather live near food trucks than Diddy.
Oh, show.
Yeah, that goes without saying. But yeah, man, I gotta fucking try this out. That sounds great. Yeah. I see. All right, pickle pizza. I mean, you know, we started with the pineapple. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, when it comes down to pizza, just let people live. Let them live. Yeah, you know, the pizza crust is just a canvas. You do whatever the fuck you want with it. Live your life. Well, have some fun.
I will ask this question then. Hmm? At what point does it not become a pizza then?
I mean, the rules are simple. I mean, it don't even got to be circle because Detroit style is rectangle. So, mm-hmm. I just feel like sauce, bread, and cheese. There you go.
Loses bread, cheese, and any type of sauce.
I'm okay with any kind of sauce.
That works then. Mm-hmm. Okay, that works then. I was just trying to figure it out.
Like I said, it could be like a ricotta spread. It could be Alfredo. It could be red sauce. It could be barbecue. There's a pizza place down the way. I'm not super into like Indian food, but they do like I can't think of what it's called. Basically, the sauce is a type of Indian sauce.
Like a tikka masala type sauce?
Maybe, I don't know. But it's that, and they just do it. The sauce is the only like Indian component in their like pepperoni pizza, regular mozzarella, regular pepperoni, but it gives it that little zing in there. It's like, oh shit, this ain't red sauce. This is something different. Yeah. So it's like, okay, it's just different spices in there. It's fucking so good, man. I haven't had that pizza in a long time. I gotta get that this weekend. But I guess in general too, you know what? Shout out to pizza. It's just so good. But it's not a curry sauce. No, it's not a curry sauce either. It's something else.
Shout out to pizza.
Out to pizza. Title number three, shout out to pizza. I mean, hey, you know,
that's worth the pizza one time.
Bomb, bomb. Shout out to pizza. Be like, oh God. Oh God. Fucking pizza, man. Anyways, so now we'll kind of flip it a little bit. We'll talk about what you're playing. T, let's jump in with you. What have you been playing, man?
I put it in the PlayStation Friday, but did not play it until Saturday. I finally started Spider-Man 2. And goddamn. I bought it for my kid for Christmas. And so basically I've been like, in my mind, it's been like, that's your game. You enjoy. Yeah. And they played through it, I guess, a bunch. And I didn't even know that they played through it a bunch because they must have been playing when I was elsewhere or just not focused or over here and not looking over there and so forth. So I finally just started and I was like, this is a game. Not saying it would have took a Zelda spot from last year or anything like that there, but in my, you know, my personal top five. But that bad boy started off with aplomb and I was like, yo, this is crazy. So I'm very happy with it so far. But like I said, I'll play for a little bit and then I'm like, I hit my point, and I'll just put that bad boy in rest mode, put the sticks down, and keep him moving, man. And that's basically just how I've been playing through it.
That's great.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. I completely forgot that game came out, and that I wanted to play it.
Oh, you still haven't played it?
I'm whack. No. Mm-mm. Oh, so I need to buy it. I still need to buy it.
Wow, that's surprising. Yeah.
But I gotta say, this year I'm really. I guess I'll flip into my end then. I'm like, I'm really slow in games. Like, just haven't been having the like
same
energy or excitement. Like, I've actually been starting a lot of games and then just being like, I don't play this anymore. Like, there's something about I don't have the thing that has the hook. So, like, I've been playing Zelda just because it's been unfolding for me. And Call of Duty because it's just like finite. I can do a match or two, done, fucking get out. I've just been tired. Like, even my son has been like, hey, let's play this game together. And I'm like, I would really like to, but I don't even get to the point, you know, where you like, sometimes you get the lull and you just go through, you know, the menus and then you're like, I ain't gonna play shit.
Yeah.
I can't even get that far. I'm just like, my brain is like not ready for it. Cause I still have whatever the latest fucking Jedi game that came out.
It's still.
I really want to play it. It's just sitting in plastic. I just haven't gotten to it because I'm like, I don't have the energy. Cyberpunk. I really want to play that that DLC. Haven't done it either. I've been fucking sleeping. And then hearing you say Spider-Man, I'm like, fuck, I really wanted to play that.
Like I told you, I put it in the PlayStation Friday. He was like, and then I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not about to do a damn thing. I'm about to watch some YouTube and fall asleep on the couch.
And then I think I bring this up every episode. I'm still trying to get rid of the Steam Deck. So if anyone wants to buy it, because I think the other thing too is I really want a PlayStation Portal. I think I'll play more games if I had a system that can do it. I was able to connect my Steam Deck only once. And it's like, I've tried it a couple more times and it seems like I got to go through the process again. I'm like, it's just too much fucking work. Like, I'm just like, nah, this is
really?
It's like, I don't know. The configurations won't hold. So then it's like, I go to step one again. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. It's a great system. If anyone wants to buy a Steam Deck, hit me up. I'll cut you a deal. Or if you want to make a trade for a fucking Portal for the Steam Deck, I'm with that too. But that's just kind of where I am as well. And then to answer Yarden's question, quick thoughts on Zelda. I'm actually having a really good time. I played Breath of the Wild. I started it twice and got no more past like 30 minutes. But at least with this one, Tears of the Kingdom, I'm actually having a really, really good time. Oh, shit, man. Donnie's really coming up. He said $100. The other day it was like $1. So he just upped the ante.
You're a crack at it.
I was telling him the other day, I was like, listen, I'm like, hey, you know, buy this Steam Deck, get a can of soup. And people are like, I'll just take the soup. And I'm like, it's not even good soup. It's the fucking the red chowder, not the regular. So $350. I mean, we could talk. You gotta pay shipping. Be like, oh damn, negative. Anyways, Delvin, what are you playing?
I am playing Alone in the Dark. Game that's based off the fame franchise from the 90s. Well, you know, I guess the 80s.
I'm thinking Perfect Dark. Alone in the Dark. No. I don't know what this one is.
They remade the first game. Alone in the Dark was it's one of the first like survival horror games that ever came out. They kind of remade the game and they put the guy from Stranger Things in it. What's the guy's name? David Harbour?
David Harbour, yeah.
Yeah, he's the main character. I can't remember the other lady's name, but it's basically a AA Resident Evil clone.
Okay.
It was a slow start. I think I finally got into some combat. It took me like 45 minutes to get into some combat because a lot of walking around, like puzzles and shit like that. But combat's okay. What?
Delvin's really selling the fuck out of this game, huh?
Well, I'm not trying to sell you. Because it's like the whole thing is like this. I was excited for it because I liked the original Alone in the Dark series when it used to come out. It came out like in the 90s. Like it came out before Resident Evil. It was like survival horror. And I liked it back then. And this is kind of a weird thing because it's the whole Tomb Raider thing. You know how Tomb Raider came out originally? Uncharted was inspired by Tomb Raider. So Uncharted made, and then Tomb Raider came back and they was inspired by Uncharted. It's the same concept where Alone in the Dark was a series before Resident Evil. Then Resident Evil came and blew it out the water. And now Alone in the Dark's coming back and being inspired by what Resident Evil did. So it's kind of the same concept of you being this character going in this house, trying to find keys and clues and stuff like a Resident Evil game and going through a whodunit type thing. It's pretty interesting so far. I'm still early in the game. It's not amazing. It feels like a Resident Evil game, but a little bit off with like certain things you can't do.
Yeah.
With certain things that annoy me. But so far I'm fine. Like one of the things that I don't like about these type of games is it feels like it doesn't get headshots right. Because, you know, like when usually when you play the Resident Evil games, you shoot a zombie in the head, even though these are not zombies, there's something else. You know, they fall immediately. I don't like unloading a whole clip in some a monster's head and they're still like walking around. Like, I done shot you six times in the head. You should be dead. There's no reason why I should be wasting my whole clip. You should reward me for taking good shots.
Has a whopping 64 Metascore currently. Yes. 77 user score. So
I think 77 seems, I would say, like, so far when I played, I'm in like almost in chapter 3, I would say like
7.7.
I would probably say it's like the low sevens. I'm having fun with it. I think the story's interesting. I think the characters are interesting. I think what's happening is interesting.
Graphic, I agree with you. The double A seems about right. Graphics are not, but they're not awful either. I'm like, exactly. Oh, that's not bad looking.
Voice acting is pretty good.
Yeah, that could probably be, you know, some stuff probably could be, you know, maybe patched and polished. But it is THQ Nordic, and who knows?
Yeah, it's a good it's a good THQ Nordic game. I will put it that way. That's the best way to describe it.
I'm still a Monopoly Go addict, y'all, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. And
I have not played Peach yet, by the way, Donnie. My daughter still has it.
I ain't count Peach. I want Peach just because, you know, in certain games, I just, you know, we gonna support the calls on, and I do want to get one of those. I do want to get that particular game just because I think they should make get more games in that vein.
I agree. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's see. We'll get into the what you watching portion of the show. And you guys are kind of the same on this, and I'm a little bit behind. But it looks like both of you guys are watching some X-Men 97. Talk to me about it.
It's so good. It's so good. It's like only two episodes. Only the first two episodes is out. It you can complain about, oh, the voice acting is kind of off. And I'm like, yes, because these people are way older now. If they got the same, when in place where they at, the same
most
actor.
Most of them are the same
actors. Yeah. It's like 30 years old.
In the 60s. Yeah. In 70s. Like, what do y'all
expect? They're all going to sound just a little more warbly. But the story is dope. The animation is a nice return to form. Cyclops coming through, doing what you always knew a motherfucker who had laser vision could do. And doing that kind of shit. Bruh. It's only, like I said, only two episodes come out so far. It comes out on Wednesday, I believe. So, you know what I'm saying? You can get this. You can be ready to go by this week's episode. And I mean, I'm not trying to spoil nothing. I don't want to spoil it for you, Charles, but like I said, the way that second episode ends sets up one of my all-time favorite X-Men characters.
Okay.
And I'm like, are we about to do this for real? And if that is the case, boy, howdy. I am excited. And so it is. It's very, 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 very good. Yo, Storm come through, Omega level threat. I'm like, oh yeah, that's not a party, motherfucker. Shit. Yeah, because I think I've heard this on the internet, so I don't want to take credit for it. We have been being fed Avengers for so long now. I think we have all forgotten how ill X-Men are. And their power set and their story and what they have always represented, which is, of course, the fight for civil rights. And it's been that way since the word go. So when I hear people trying to say, X-Men's gone woke, I'm like, motherfucker, it's been that way since jump.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about?
I will keep it 100. We've been fed, not only that we've been fed Avengers, we've been fed bad X-Men for so long. It's like, you know,
true.
It's like people kind of forget that X-Men at one point, people forget that X-Men used to be the popular franchise.
Yeah.
People didn't fuck with Avengers. People were like, Avengers, whatever. We don't even fuck about that.
True.
We like the X-Men.
Yeah.
That's Marvel's go-to franchise. That's why when they sold everything, they didn't make an Avengers movie. They made the X-Men movie first because that was the most popular franchise out of the Marvel. It was the X-Men, it was the Fantastic Four. That's why we was getting movies about those characters. People didn't give a fuck about Iron Man and Captain America. I was the one who cared about those characters, but yeah.
Yeah, those were B and C tier characters, and now they are what we consider when we talk about comic books at this point. Yeah. Like I said, so to have X-Men back at basically at full throttle with Disney money behind him.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it. It's probably one of my favorite things Disney Animation has done in a long time. I think the DuckTales reboot is up there as well.
Yes.
I love the way that both of them kind of like similarly like go back on nostalgia, but bring it to a modern audience. And I think this X-Men show does a fantastic job of doing that in terms of this feels like a continuation of the original series, but it also feels like the show grew up with the audience.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like a kid's show anymore. It feels a little bit more mature. There's mature themes without being overly overt about it.
Yeah.
Like they have sexual things, but they don't like blatantly get into it. There are moments like, oh, so that's what's going on with these characters. You're like, oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah. And they have other moments where they're like, they kind of nudge you and like, hey, this is what's going on. You're like, okay. I like the way they kind of touch on topics. They face racism and sexism is like straight up. They don't hide it.
I was listening to the For All Nerds podcast, and when they broke down, like, kind of saying what you guys are saying too. It's like it's not about like, oh, X-Men have gone woke. They're just like, it already was a show about like diversity. Like an oppression and segregation. Like, did you not ever fucking pay attention? But then they also went into that extra layer that you guys kind of touched on too, which is like the development of the relationships. And because they talked about how, like, you know, we remember things a certain way, and that like in 97, they were like, in the original, you realize looking back at it, it was a very cartoony show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whereas this takes more of the storylines from the comics. Not that the other one didn't, but this is a little more true to the literature as opposed to like, but well, we still got to sell some fucking action figures, you know? So the way they broke it down, I was like, okay, like, not that I was against or didn't want to watch it. It's actually one of those things where like when I see something, I'm like, oh, I want to fucking watch that. And then I don't watch it. So hearing you guys talk about it and hearing them talk about it, I'm like, I'm fucking like, I'm super into this. Like I need to take some time to give it a good watch.
It's really, really well done. I like that the show answers questions that you may have as you're watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you resolution to those questions.
Yeah.
And I also like that the show does not hold your hand with things. It doesn't like, all right, you gotta go along with this. It kind of like just tells you like, hey, this is the story, this is what we're going towards. And I know people. It's so weird seeing people talk about X-Men being woke because it's such a stupid thing to say because the comics have always been that way. X-Men is the one franchise that is kind of harking on that because the whole people know the history of it. For those who don't know, Professor X is supposed to be MLK and Malcolm X is supposed to be a parallel of Magneto.
Yeah.
That's the correlation. The mutant agenda is essentially the civil rights movement. And, you know, I think that the show does a really good job of expanding that and giving it a modern feel.
Yeah.
And I just love everything it's doing it.
My man Magneto's speech when he had them. Yeah, bro. Like I said, I'm not trying to spoil it for you, bro. I want you to see it.
Yeah. Even some of the wording that some of the bad guys have used to like explain their actions, you're like, yeah, this makes sense. This is like, yeah, this is powerful. I like it. I really dig the show. It's great.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I got to put on my list. You know what I need to do is just get around to like saving some episodes like on the iPad or something and then just being like, here, now I can just fucking dive in. And then and then you put in a T that you watch the Quiet on the Set.
No, it's Dell.
I watched.
Oh, that's Dell. Did you watch a T at all? I think I talked about it on last States Crunchy.
Nope.
I have finished watching all but one episode of it.
Mm-hmm. It's four, right? Four episodes, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a very fascinating doc. I think what they're covering is good.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first episode is poorly made.
Mm-hmm.
The second episode, they get in their groove. They're making it better.
Yeah.
I think the third episode is actually really well made, but yeah. The intro into the third episode is some of the wildest shit I've ever seen.
Well, let me tell you, too. Like, if you... So I haven't made it to the fourth episode. If you have had any, like, traumatic experiences, any connection with, like mental sexual abuse, be careful watching this show.
Yeah.
Because it really dives in, and it will fuck you up. Because one, it's like you realize, like, yeah, childhood wasn't what you thought it was going to be type of thing. Or like people who orchestrate stuff. It's kind of like the Diddy conversation where you're just like, damn, people just out here fucking running wild, you know? But then the fact that like what they're doing to children and manipulating not only them, but their families too, it's like, what the, yeah. Like, people really live like this. Like, this shit's fucking crazy. Why? You know? And
to add to that, some of the production things they do to kind of ease you into it, mm-hmm, aren't very good. Like, yeah. Me and my son was talking about, okay, slight spoilers.
It's a documentary. You can't spoil a documentary.
I know.
Yeah.
So, in episode two, they talk about how Nick had two pedophiles on the payroll.
On the payroll.
Like, yeah. Straight up. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. These were people who were convicted of crimes. And so they tell the first half of the story of one of them. They tell the story in episode two of that one. Then they're telling the second half of the story of the other one, who was a high-up exec in Nickelodeon, right? And then they have this one that, like, highlights of the episode, is they have this big meeting where they tell the kids, like, hey, such and such is not no longer going to be part of the network anymore. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you want to tell us about him? No one says anything, right?
Yep.
But by the way, we add this context in it. They have the parents leave the room when they have this conversation with the kids.
Yeah.
So the parents are not involved in the conversation, which is already a fucked up thing. So after that, they cut to the kids who are now adults. And the kids are like, they are like, yeah, man, they called us in the room and they alluded to, like, one of us being molested, but we don't know who it is. I kind of wonder who it is. I kind of wonder which one of us was it? And then you see, like, they're talking to another former exec at Nickelodeon, and exec's like, it wasn't none of our cast members, right? It couldn't have been one of the main cast members of one of the shows, right? And then, like a fucking Smash Brothers reveal, they cut to the person it was. I'm like, what the fuck? Why did they do it that way? Yeah. So awkwardly done.
It really was, and it was like, you know what it was? Is that it wasn't like tasteful either.
Yes,
it was like if they had outed somebody, where they're, yes, just like, this motherfucker. Like,
yes, it was so, like, weird. Wait,
what? Like, that's not how you do this.
Yes, it was so weird. How they like how they brought it up to who it was. And it's a big star, mm-hmm, by the way. It was like a big star. Yeah. And yeah. I guess it was the big reveal of this whole series. Like, this is the person who was hurt, mm-hmm, by this. And yeah. I think, to be fair, the person's episode is heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling. The person is pouring their heart out. That episode, yeah, is really well done.
Yeah.
But the lead up to that is shit.
Yeah. It's really bad. The reveal was literally like the Masked Singer, where they're like, you want to know who it is? This guy. And it's like, yeah, yes, this is a serious topic. Like, this is someone like who had this like traumatic experience, and you're over here just like, surprise.
Yeah. Like, yes, it's so wild. Fuck? And when you hear this person's story, I don't want to reveal who it is, but yeah, when you hear this person's story, it's fucking heartbreaking.
No, it really, really is. When his dad starts telling a story,
yes,
get the fuck out. You are ready.
When they legit asked the person, what did this person do to you?
Yeah.
And he says, whatever you're thinking in your head, that and then some.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? It's yeah. uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's super crazy. Like, I mean, I watched that episode like mid or late last week, or was it on the weekend? I don't know. But it lingered for like too long where I was like, God damn, you know, like it was super, super heartbreaking. So
it was.
Yeah.
I was watching the series. My son did not stop and watch any of it with me till that episode came up.
Uh-huh.
And he was glued to it because he was like shocked.
Yeah.
Because he's a fan of the person. He's like, this is horrible. And it like it fucked him up. He's like, yeah, this is bad. Like, yeah, this is it's rough.
Yeah, it's not for the faint of heart. Like, definitely you gotta be prepared for it. You know, just it's not a light watch. I think it's worth watching for sure, but just be mentally prepared for it.
I think if you've been through abuse and assault, be aware of that. There's sometimes where they're just not sensitive to that issue.
Yeah. It's you know, for a documentary, it's a little too raw. Like the transition or the balance isn't there. But overall, it's a pretty decent. I mean, as far as documentaries go, I'd give it a solid 7.5. Yeah. You know, I think that's where it lives. In the same for me, like I've watched it up to like the third or finished the third episode. I should be starting the fourth, but I'm like, oh, I need a little break on this.
I felt the same way.
But I have been watching that F1 show, The Drive to Survive. Been watching the fuck out of that show. I am so hooked on this show. And then I was stoked because I was able to watch some F1 over the weekend in real time. So it's like I knew some of the racers and I was like, oh, that's my man's over there, Gasly. I love that dude. He's so good. And then there's a Mexican with the same last name as me. So I was like, shout out to that guy, Raza. You know, it's just like, it's just fucking great. But so the show's got a lot of good drama and like really, really tense moments. And so I've been enjoying it because I could just watch and not really like, I can just tune out the world a little bit, but it's not like dumb fun. Like I'm actually learning things too, where I'm like, oh, that car is different from that car, or like how the teams are designed and shit like that. So that show's that's a ton of fun. I didn't think I was going to like it as much as I was. And then, yeah, just getting into it, I was like, God damn, that's fucking crazy. Yes, that's right. Verstappen and Lewis were both out of the race. So that one was like really, really interesting. That was this past weekend. But hey, man, let me say what I want to say. I call them what I want.
The real anyway. Reality of it is you are seamless. I mean, I'm going to say like a born and raised car dude, right?
Yeah,
he was already a car dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's right up my alley.
You fucking with some more car shit.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. No, it really, really does. Like, I don't know why I was tripping on that. I was like, man, I'm not going to watch this dumbass show. When it's like, it's everything that, like, that I enjoy. It's got the drama. Like, one thing I've really wanted to do, it's wild expensive, is like just up the way and then a couple of cities over in Carson, they actually have like a Porsche, like, racing track. And you can rent the cars and race them. And I want to do that. But I want to say it's like a stack. And I'm like, yeah. I don't have that kind of money. I don't have that. Yeah. So, but it's fucking, that show is so, so good. And so I've just been kind of watching that. And then also for some reason, my wife was like listening to some podcasts and they kept talking about Survivor. So then we started watching Survivor. I've never watched an episode of Survivor. And so... we went into like Hulu and I was like, oh, it says the latest season right here. And it was the one with fucking Blair from like Facts of Life. And she was on it. And then I realized that episode was from fucking 2012. Like that's as far as Hulu goes. So I was like,
oh, it's on Paramount. You can catch it if you have Paramount.
So that one's got Paramount. And so then I was like, oh, I got Paramount. So now I'm watching like, we're actually watching one season behind because right now they're releasing them like weekly, you know? So we're like, okay, we'll watch the one before. There's something my wife and I were talking about this. There's something about like reality shows, like early on and the latter seasons where it's a little too self-aware. So it's like, it's not as exciting. Like, they now know the game. I want to be the villain, or I'm going to be the this and that. And it's like, now it's not as enjoyable. And I feel like they're all doing all the tropes now. And then things I know about Survivor, I think if I were to go on there, I would do really well. Because basically, you have to just know how to untie knots. Everything's got a fucking knot on it. So if you know how to do knots and like do puzzles, fucking good. So I'm like, I'm pretty good at puzzles. And I'm not a Boy Scout, but I just work on some knots. And I might be okay. Fucking garlic knots. I'll tear those up.
I only ever saw like the first season of Survivor. And I remember one of the chicks on there went on to drop a sex tape. And then the one was in the movie The Animal with Rob Schneider. These are the things I remember about the first season of Survivor.
Yeah. So I've just been kind of watching it, and it's all right. It's okay. I mean, it's like dumb fun too. So it's like I said, for right now, my mind is just heavy with a lot of shit that it is just nice to sort of
turn it off and just kind of up.
Yeah, definitely. And then to just, bring it on home, let's talk about what you're spinning, what you guys listening to.
Bro, I left it over there. About once a year, I seriously just catch a film and I get super duper into Michael McDonald.
I love it.
And of course, that means I pull out the Doobie Brothers minute by minute and play What a Fool Believes.
Oh, fuck yes. Now, do you think it's a 70s kid thing? Because, like, I love fucking Yacht Rock, man. Like, that shit, like, it's just so good. Hit me with some Steely Dan, man. Bro. With it.
Yeah. Like I said, this the rabbit hole I always end up going down, right? So I get down with, like I said, I started Mike McDonald shit, and then it's just like everything else starts flowing right there afterwards. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I was bumping Peg and Black Cow and so forth. You know what I'm saying? I've just been on that shit because, like I said, it's once it starts flowing, I'm on that shit. And then it's something I noticed. And like I said, this, like you just pointed out, it's the 80s, 70s, 70s, maybe 80s kind of situation is we had so many artists just like link up and kick together and make amazing joints. So you had Michael McDonald and Patti LaBelle, Michael McDonald and James Ingram and so forth and so on coming together and just making these fly ass songs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this is like, bruh, we don't do that today. And I'm really hopeful that this Beyonce album kind of brings some of that back. You know what I'm saying? I got the feeling Beyonce gonna drag some people onto this album that people are not ready.
Yeah, that's the big rumor.
Expecting of. So I'm betting it's gonna go down similar to that, and I'm excited for it. But yeah, bro, pull out. You should give minute by minute the entire Doobie Brothers album a spin. It is fucking that's the one with What a Fool Believes on it. So you already know you got a banger on there. But that album is good, and I said my copy is old. It's an old from the original copy. So the fact is it is in such decent spinning shape is something I always like. Okay, that's pretty dope.
Nice.
Couple weeks back, it was announced that Lachelle Laws, who you might know as Boss, passed away. The first female artist signed to Def Jam West. I had it pointed out to me by a fucking motherfuckers on Reddit, but I just happen to have I really have always loved that song Deeper, and I have a 12-inch of Deeper, and I guess I'd been spinning that just in her memory and so forth. So I would tell you to maybe spin Deeper as well. It should be available anywhere you get your music at, and that song goes hard. And God rest her soul, and love to her friends and family and those who will miss her. But that's basically. Oh, yo, Fowler put me onto this, and if y'all have not listened to it, you really fucking should. 1999, Write the Future is this collective that's doing some production. This is basically like a giant mixtape, if you will. The name of the joint is Hella. It's everywhere. 1999, Write the Future, Hella is bonkers. It is so good. Like I said, out of the blue, Fowler just shot me didn't even say, hey, you should listen to it. Just, it was a link to that shit, and that was all that was said and done. I was like, okay, my man, give me a rec. And it's like, it is so dope. And I cannot recommend it enough. Everybody named Mama's on, it's a bunch of rappers, American rappers, it's a bunch of Korean rappers. Just a bunch of different beat makers and so forth. It is so good. So yeah, 1999, Write the Future. The name of the joint, the name of the album is Hella. 24 tracks is like an hour long. This is a real, you know,
damn.
People don't drop 24 track bangers no more.
No.
So, you know what I'm saying? This is like a lengthy, everybody named Mama, Conway, West Side Gun, and just Rich Brian, everybody named Mama's on this shit. So,
sounds dope.
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you right now, I'll give it a listen. That shit, that is real good. It's real good.
Nice. Yeah. How about you, Devin?
I was listening to some old shit like T was. I was looking up to make sure I got the right album. Howard Jones, Greatest Hits. That's how I listen to the best of Howard Jones. That's my joints, man. Like to Get to Know You Well and What Is Love?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a way. That's what I was kind of just listening to. That type of stuff, man. I was just vibing, man. It's just something to get in the car and vibe to. Also, I listen to a lot of Phil Collins.
But you know what? That Howard Jones, Phil Collins vibe is kind of like what T's tapping into, too. It's like, you know what it is? It's like sitting in the pocket music. You know, you're just there. You can hear it in the car. You can just sit on the sofa. Yeah, man. It's just,
you just sit there riding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just the rhythm. It's like, man, this is like, this is before we, you know, we were tossing, you know, like tossing a vibe loosely all over the place. It was like, nah, this is the predecessor. You know,
yeah.
this is the blueprint for it.
Listen to some Phil Collins in the car when you ride.
Yeah.
Just not in the other night, because you listen to in the other night, you're about to air out a block.
Man, you're about to get coked out. You just stop.
Air tonight, you also got to throw him and
Philip Bailey.
Philip Bailey, it was not coming to me.
Easy Lover?
Bro, Easy Lover.
Mm-hmm. Love that song.
Yeah, so,
Easy Lover goes so damn hard. I should go find children watching Easy Lover on fucking YouTube. You know, it's always kids reacting to our shit.
Yeah, yeah.
My kid, Chalfie, I swear to God, you would laugh and then you'd be like, yeah, that's about right. My kid has been on a Nirvana tear for the last month.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, we sitting there going, talking about Unplugged and stuff like that and so forth the other day. And it's just, I absolutely love it. And then I reflect back to when I was a youngin'. Mm-hmm. And how we would listen to my man's mom's like Pink Floyd and Zeppelin shit and stuff and so on. It's like, yeah. And now they doing the same to me, you know, like that's crazy.
I would I recommend this to your child. Listen to Nirvana in like various surroundings.
Okay.
Like Nirvana in headphones sounds distinctly different from Nirvana on a stereo and distinctly different from Nirvana in your car. You just pick up different things. And especially that Nevermind album.
Yeah.
I think it was Butch Vig who did it. Like, it really shows like what a good producer can do. In all formats, it sounds great. But it's like, for example, I think the song's called Lounge Act off the Nevermind album. That one, you pick up so much like of the layering and the vocals. Like you realize like it's not just guitars and drums and screaming. It's like, it's actually like good design. So I tell your kid just like, hey, listen to it. If you really want to soak it up, listen to it in different formats. Also hit me back. Cause I'm really, really curious what your kid's favorite song is.
Awesome.
Cause
when they listen to Smells Like Teen Spirit, just out of random, just give somebody a diamond cutter.
You know what? Shut up.
Just give them a diamond cutter.
Do I need to hide this guy again?
Man, I fucking hate you. Let's not do it. Break the stream.
Okay. Anyways, don't want the fucking ruin over here. Fucking killing boners left and right. It's funny that Donnie says he's got to get the lead out sometimes because my wife was talking about it. Just came up random, like Led Zeppelin was playing on the radio, and she was like, "Oh shit!" She's like, "For some reason, I've been dying to let the lead out lately." So she had to. So we had to sit in the car for a little bit longer so she could hear some Led Zepp because she had to get down. Okay. So you know, sometimes it hits.
Favorite Led Zeppelin song?
For me?
Yeah.
I'll say this. I don't have one, not because I don't like the band. I actually really do. But I like different songs for different reasons. Like I feel like Led Zeppelin has great moments in music, like where it's like, oh, that fucking opening riff is crazy. That drum solo is bananas. That crescendo is like it right there. So it's like, it's pieces, not the whole thing. But not, but I'm not shitting on them. You know, they're not like the Drake of rock and roll. They're just
Drake of rock and roll.
There it is.
It's like you done hit like six today, bro. And I think you did it on that one, bro. I think you did it on that one. Write that down, please.
I'm adding it to the because taking out the question the marks. The Drake of rock and roll.
Done. It is your exact reasoning which makes my favorite Led Zeppelin song my favorite Led Zeppelin song, and that is Going to California. And it comes in with this little, and then it comes in and it's like, yeah, give me all of that. And it's so good, bro. And that's my favorite. Like, and on that album, of course, Stairway. So everybody's like, fucking Stairway's on the album. Sure thing. But Going to California is that shit.
Yeah.
You should really be listening to it. I made a whole playlist based off California, just based off of that song. I have a playlist of number songs about California.
Yeah.
Oh, so Going Back to Cali's on there?
It is on there, both of them, too.
Yeah, but that's a really challenging one because it's hard to pick when you have a band that really just like was so great at it that it's like, man, that's really tough. But
California song do go hard. I
love that song.
I want to put some respect on Donnie's name here.
Yeah,
Immigrant Song. And of course, I only think of when I think of it, I only think of Ragnarok Thor.
Of course,
and them fighting on that bridge with that shit playing, psh, bonkers.
Yeah. But even at the beginning, like, you know, like when the levee breaks, like just fucking drums on that are wild. So it's just all around. They're just a great band. Good question, but really hard to answer. Really super hard to answer. For me, let's see. What have I been listening to? Oh, okay. So I got like, I think one of my best pieces of vinyl are like my favorite for the longest. I've been looking for a vinyl version of Crystal Castles, their first album, self-titled Crystal Castles, electronic group. And so I can only find it on black vinyl. All the color variants are like way out of press, but there is, and shout out to this kid, it's called Vertigo Vinyl. And he is like a 19-year-old who has his own like record store.
Yeah.
And so his claim is he's the youngest record seller in all of Georgia. And he's got his shop has like its own like vinyl variants as well. So I got it's like one of 2,000, and they have a Crystal Castles, and it is the most fucking goth perfect fucking album because it's a black and purple splatter, like lavendery. Fucking album is beautiful, sounds great. And I'm just like, god damn, I fucking love this album. And that album probably came out like in 2005, maybe. And it's one that I listen to it way more than I probably should. Like, it probably gets a play like every, like lately I've been listening to it like maybe like 2 to 3 times a week. But if anything, at minimum, it gets played like once a month. So I listen to that album a lot. So just getting that one in stock, I was like, fuck, I'm so stoked. Because it was like one of those, I check Discogs and I'm like, am I going to pay $100 for this? Like, am I gonna do that?
Have you set yourself a limit to what you would spend on a record?
Yes and no. It depends on what it is and like what type. Like, are we talking double vinyl? Are we talking single? You know, like.
Yeah.
But this kid had it, and it was only like $35.
Oh,
so I was right, like,
that's
fucking score. So yeah, man, I highly recommend listening to that album. And then we've just had a good run lately of like good new music. When we recorded last, Schoolboy Q had just released his Blue Lips album.
Yeah.
That album is a good example of hip hop maturing. Like, he doesn't sound corny. Like, one, I like Schoolboy Q a lot. But his album doesn't sound like corny. It doesn't sound like he's trying to do young man shit. Like, he's rapping his topics and stuff like that. But it's still good rap. And there are some modern sounds, but it's his way. And it just doesn't sound like he's trying to, I'm going to be the young guy. You know, it's like, nah, the fucking album is so, so good. I've been super into that. And then we talked about like the Future's album, We Don't Trust You. That's a good album too. Like I'm really, really enjoying it. And then Chief Keef, which frustrates me and my son to no end because his album, his like what's considered a full album is I think already 2, maybe 3 years delayed. And but he did release a mixtape, him and Mike Will, just like the Future is him and Metro. This is Chief Keef and Mike Will. They did an album called Dirty Nachos. And that album is fucking good. Really, really good. If you like that like hard like Chief Keef shit where it just fucking knocks, it's got it on there. So I'm having a good time with all three of those albums. But and I was actually gonna make so that my only complaint with like the Future album and the Chief Keef album is I'm super frustrated with like 50% albums where it's like, how can you have tracks that go so hard or it's like so good and then you just got like whack filler? And I feel like it's like, and it's not like, oh, the first half of the album is really good and the second half is whack or vice versa. It's like good song, whack song, good song, whack song. And it's just, it fucking, for me, it kills the vibe because it's like, I turn up the radio and fucking speakers are knocking and I'm like, yeah, this fucking shit is tight. And then it's like, and here's the whack song and turn it down or hit skip. And so it's like these 50%, you know what? You don't need to give me 12 tracks. Give me 6 on an EP that fucking goes hard. I'm good with that. Like, I'm totally okay with that. Cause these fucking garbage ass tracks, I think you put them on there cause you just needed 12 and you don't want to go shorter than that. Like, honestly, you just were like, I gotta release like an album length. So fucking here's some shit. And it really is just a lot of garbage shit too, where like the level of rap is probably on my level, you know, just like, yeah, I don't know how to rap, you know, but I could have probably done the same thing. So there's that. And then one last one, that I just remembered and didn't put on the notes. If you aren't familiar with the young up and coming artist, you know, GP, he's still out here putting out music and he's actually got a song called Ghost that he did with one of his buddies. That fucking song goes off. It's really, really well done. Like this was one where I had to, and they did a little video for it too. I had to message him during the school day and I was just like, this song is fucking good. And this video is really good too. Like you guys actually did something here. And that one's actually going to eventually go to like all the streaming platforms right now. It's just on SoundCloud. But the fucking song, like, don't come into it as an old head. Remember this kid is 15. This is kid raps. You know, this is for the youth. Might not be for everybody.
Y'all not ready for it.
Yeah. But it's fucking good. It's really, really good. So I'm super proud of the work he does, but also it sounds really, really fucking tight. So I'm super hyped off of that. And so maybe I'll drop some links for that as well. But all in all, I think it's time for us to wrap it up, fellas. I'm super glad we got a chance to talk today. You know, I always love chopping it up with you guys, having some laughs. We're just waiting for Delvin to say something really ridiculous that makes me angry. But that's Delvin on every show.
WrestleMania, baby.
Yeah, fuck you, God. But anyway, why are you still fucking mute this guy?
I think we get SummerSlam up here, man, this year.
I might go up there then.
I'm almost sure that's at the Brown Stadium. So
the fuck is both of you guys doing right now? You get go start another show. Go start wrestling podcast on your own. Not on my time. My time is limited.
I don't even watch wrestling. I'm simply aware.
Mm. How come no one calls it wrestling anymore, though?
Well, I grew up watching Mid-South wrestling in Memphis, Tennessee, where Jerry, the King Lawler,
okay,
ran that shit. And Jimmy Hart was down there, and that's before WWE took over.
Before he was the Mouth of the South?
No, he became the Mouth of the South in Memphis, Tennessee. I used to watch him on Channel 5 with Dave Brown. Dave Brown was the weatherman on Channel 5, and he used to be the wrestling commentator for Mid-South Wrestling. They wrestled in the Channel 5 studio.
Yeah, damn.
The man, the mouth of the South.
You know what? Hey, you can go to some certain sites and look up the mouth of the South. Probably way different. Oh, speaking of mouth of the South, have you guys watched the last thing, but just popped in my mind. Also, not because I'm talking to two African-American gentlemen. Have you guys watched the Freaknik thing on Hulu?
No, but I actually went to Freaknik in 94. Yeah. I lived in Atlanta. I was in high school at that time.
So yeah, I remember you saying that.
So, yeah, I actually went to Freaknik. I went to the...
Right, exactly. We're going to see Young T straight through.
That'd be amazing. And then what I remember clearly about Freaknik, I got to watch Luke perform and some other people and Too Short perform and so forth. And then there was a stampede. And so we didn't get to see the rest of the show. But I did bump into both Raekwon and Ghost, who were going to perform, and got to show them love, which is dope. So
had that ridiculous eagle on his arm.
No, that's well before. That's well before Wonder Woman. So
man, that eagle, shit, that's something. Man, this is about to turn into like when Donnie and Delvin say at the end of the show, "All right, just about 10 more minutes, the show's gonna be done," and then it's like 2 hours later.
we don't get to all just get together and talk, but once a month. Right.
Exactly.
And I know we probably should do more, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, hey, that's all it is. Just exactly. Chop it up with my homies.
No, for real, for real. But anyways, yeah, that eagle's fucking something else. Like that. When I first saw it, I was just like, how? Also, it's glorious. Just majestic.
Literally, that is the word that describes it. It is the majesty of Wonder Woman sitting on a man's wrist. Fucking cool ass. Like he got to become a falconer or something.
Right, seriously. Because it's not like, oh, it's just a little medallion on my chest. It's like, no, motherfucker. I got an eagle right here. Like, right. You got a Rolex. Nah.
We are not the same.
We are not that lets you know there are literally levels to this, and you are not on mine. Oh, my God. Man, this is crazy. Anyways, man, thank you guys so much for just for being on tonight. You know, I always love spending time with you guys and just fucking chopping it up. So for T and Delvin, I'm Chelvy. We out of here. Peace. Peace.
Mama. Mama.
What? Grandma's not here.
Grandma's not here. She's not here.